Well, here's what we're going to do as we look at this passage, as we look back the way, but think, well, what does this mean for us today as we're looking ahead to these different ventures, these different things that we're a part of here at St. Andrews? We're going to look at two simple points. Firstly, a natural expansion of the kingdom, the way in which it's growing, and then following on from that, seeing this growth, we're going to look at a growing gospel community, how they will encourage. And I've got a slide to that effect, just to remind us where we're heading. Remind me as well, in case I go off track. Here's a question, though, I want to start with. A question for you to ponder. What are the places that you find yourself? What are the different places that you find yourself? We've heard about those who had been dispersed, and there they were, they found themselves in Antioch. I don't know if any of us have found ourselves all the way to Antioch, but what are the places that you find yourself? Through work? Through neighbours? Through social groups? Through family? What are the places that you find yourself? And another question to follow that up, to perhaps think about it a bit more privately, is there times you'd rather not be there? Is there times where you think, actually, I know you've got me here, but I'm not so keen to be here, whether it's the queue to see the dentist, I don't know if there's any dentists amongst us, I'm sorry if there are, the queue to see the dentist, or you're waiting in line to see the doctor and I really don't want to be here. Well, here they were in Antioch. The cause that brought them there was that they'd been dispersed because of persecution. It's not the most ideal of events that unfolded. But were they lamenting? Were they resigning themselves and saying, oh, it's all up? It's all over. We tried telling people that we got run out of time. So we've come to Antioch as a place of refuge and we'll just go about our quiet day-to-day business. These were people that were dispersed, but these are people who went telling about Jesus Christ. They went and they shared, some amongst the Jews, that was the traditional way, going and telling people that Jesus was the Messiah that they'd been waiting for. But of course we hear that some from Cyprus and Cyrene started telling the Greeks, that is those that were out with God's people originally. God's kingdom was starting to expand. Rather than lamenting about it, they were starting to expand God's kingdom. Now, to look at the context of that, there's two things that I think are important to us, and two things that really do apply to us as well. The first is that in doing that act, this recording of history that we see, here are people who are taking seriously what we see in the New Testament when Christ calls his disciples, when he gives what we often refer to as the Great Commission. We see that at the end of Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 28. Christ is there and he says, therefore all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them the commands I have given you. There was Christ's words as he called his disciples, as he gave them this great commission to go. Well, here we see it in practice. And isn't it an encouragement as we think of that call to us as well, that people have been putting this in practice from the word go? But there's some quite good application for us as we start to think about them taking seriously this Great Commission. And that is that they are doing exactly what is told. They are making disciples. One of the commentators I was reading this week around the Great Commission was saying that we're making marks of community. In the baptism, something that's done publicly, something that's seen, in the discipling and the teaching of the commands, we are making community. We are making disciples. Here it's been done. What a wonderful example to look at. But there's something else important that we see in the meaning of what's happening here as we see them going out. It's that bit that I've got in white there. The Lord's hand was with them. God was blessing what these dispersed believers were doing. Now, of course, you could try and read it differently, put a different spin on it, and say, oh, it's because, you know, they're really skilled, because they've gone to university and done courses in evangelism that they were so successful. It's because they ploughed all their investment into a marketing strategy that would reach these people that they were so successful. God's hand was blessing what they were doing. As we start to look back, as we start to see how God has moved, almost like picking up that photo album, are we not confronted by these things? But here are people making community, and here are people who see God at work, see God's blessing. I think we need to be encouraged and be challenged by this as we start to think about the different ways in which we go out and we express church. Let me be certain about this. When we're doing things like a messy church, when we're inviting people, it's not something else that we do. This is a way of expressing church. It says quite purposefully on the flyer that I would encourage you to take out to people that we're learning about what it is to be a part of God's family. And that's whether you're 7 or a grown-up, whatever else in between. We're learning about what it is to be a part of God's family. And in that, we're expressing church, God's people, the called out ones. We're going and we're doing church. Here is a natural expansion. As people go about and they find themselves in these places, a natural expansion of the kingdom. Perhaps you've heard the term hit and run evangelism. I think it sums up things quite well. It's quite easy to go out and do these things, to go and tell people and be encouraged, maybe even go and do it somewhere else. But what about what happens after? When we start to see this growth, what happens after? Well, looking here at the example of Antioch, there's something that really challenges us as a church, and something that I hope inspires us and encourages us. I think the metaphor that would really help us with this is that of a plant. If ever there was one that's used so often in the New Testament and is such a gift in terms of metaphors, it's that of a plant. Because we can begin to imagine this little shoot popping up, these people hearing about the good news, responding as they see God at work. What are we going to do with that? We're just going to leave it to its own devices, say, well, that's great, that's really encouraging. Hope you grow, and then walk off in the opposite direction. Well, it's anything but that in the case of Antioch. News gets back to Jerusalem about what is happening, so they send Barnabas. His name actually relates to being an encourager, and that's certainly what he does. And one way, it's really straightforward. You get the right people, you send them to where these things are happening, you say, go bless and encourage that ministry. And rightly so. I mean, it would be quite uncanny if the whole church in Jerusalem had uprooted itself and gone and joined in with the church in Antioch. But quite purposefully, they sent the right people to go and to bless and to encourage them. There's something that we see as quite key here, though. That the people who were doing that, the people who were encouraging and growing this ministry, were people who were spiritually tuned in themselves. We're told of Barnabas that there was a man who was full of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't it paint quite a picture? That here is someone who's filled up with God in them, and that's seen in the way in which they're blessing, encouraging, and sharing. So much so that he doesn't take it upon himself. In fact, he goes and he gets someone else, this guy called Saul. We hear about him referred to as Paul in many letters that we have in the New Testament. Well, here he is early on in Paul's ministry, or Saul's ministry, and he's there in Antioch, and they're sharing together. Something really encouraging that comes out of this, something that still marks us today. We're told, in the historical sense, that it was in Antioch that they were first called Christians. Well, that's something that we are still called today, and what a blessing it is. What I find fascinating, though, is that the way in which it was first uttered was actually with a sense of derision. Those people to keep on talking about Jesus. As the surrounding community saw these believers, these people who belong to the way, that's those folks that keep on talking about Jesus. They're always talking about Jesus. They're the Christians. They're always talking about Christ. Well, it said with a hint of derision, but actually it was a real truism, and it was a real insight into what was happening. There was Barnabas, there was Saul. They were meeting with these believers, and what was on their lips? Jesus. What were they instructing these people? How were they encouraging them? Talking about Jesus. Helping them to know in that relationship. It was on their lips all the time. So much so that they got given a name because of it. A name that still sticks until today. Now, we look at this, we look at folks like Barnabas and Saul going out, blessing these ministries, and we can start to think, well, how is that going to apply for us as we start to bless and encourage ministries like Messy Church, like Sweaty Church, as we start to grow it? There's lots to apply. But then it's quite easy, and in a way quite true, to think, well, that's fine, but I'm not the person for that task. I'm not the person for that kind of ministry. That's not me. Well, I'd encourage you, firstly, to have a good think about what if it is you, and is the Lord challenging, is the Lord laying anything on your heart about different ways in which you might be involved? Well, then I'd encourage you to not sit still on that and come and speak to one of us about it. But there's something quite true in what we see about church. There's these people that are there on the front line encouraging. There's something key that's also going on here. When we look at this church, we hear that there's a prophecy that they're going to fall into hard times. There's going to be this famine. And what do we see? The church gets behind them. The church in Jerusalem who had sent Barnabas, and they bless them. They give them the provisions that they need. There's that support coming from the mother church, the church that helped them grow in the first instance. When you hear that Messy Church is happening, when you hear that Sweaty Church is happening, I want your first response to be, that's wonderful. I'm going to pray for them, because I want to see that grow. I also want you to be thinking, how can I support this? How can I help it to grow? You might be thinking, well, maybe we could help get some new crafts or whatever else for Messy Church. Maybe it's equipment, maybe it's provision, maybe it's getting some daft kit that makes us look super funny when we're doing Sweaty Church. You might be thinking, actually, there's a way in which I'd like to support. There's a way in which I'd like to bless. If we look at Antioch, here is church happening. Going back to the metaphor that I started with, I love looking back at photos, and I love hearing of what God has done. Wouldn't it be encouraging when we can look back and see photos in the hall about Sweaty Church and Messy Church? There's already some of Messy Church, actually. But more up-to-date photos, and say, here is what God has been doing. Here is God at work. Let us look at these things with our longing and with our anticipation. Amen.